Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. I want to invite you to a free event, by the way, next Thursday night, week from tonight, March 10th. I'll be moderating a debate called First Principles on the Proper Role of Government. Miles Rappaport from Demos and Yaron Brook from the Ayn Rand Institute will be the debaters. It's at 6 p.m. on March 10th at NYU Skirball Center, and tickets are free, but you need to RSVP. So go to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, to claim your seat. And while you're at It's a Free Country, you can see our bloggers already debating the proper role of government in advance of the event, including the participants blogging for us for this. And you can take our proper role of government poll, 20 yes or no questions on the proper role of government according to you, all at itsafreecountry.org, and hope to see you there for free next Thursday night. Well, just as 2010 was the year of the census, 2011 is the year of the census results. Remarkable statistics about populations across the United States have already been coming out. And while some states are growing, others are shrinking, and redistricting is already set to redraw our political map. Our area will lose seats in the House of Representatives, for example, to other parts of the country, and that has political implications. Last year, we looked at local counties in our series, Your Anecdotal Census, and our observations about changes in our communities over the past 10 years, all, you know, taken in together from all of you who wrote in for that and called in for that. And now as the numbers trickle in, we start to look at how your observations match real changes statistically. So every Thursday this month, we'll talk to Sam Roberts, urban affairs correspondent for the New York Times, who has closely covered the census over the years, about what the census data means and what we can learn from those numbers. Hi, Sam. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you. And I just want to let you know that while I was on hold, I made my online pledge.
And we didn't even pay you off to say that. Thank you. So we already know about some major cities in the U.S. More New York-specific results are about to come out. But looking at these numbers that have been released regarding shrinkage of the population in St. Louis and New Orleans, I think you can already conclude that New York is pretty unique among major cities in America right now, right?
I think that's true. When you look at the national results, much of which has come out so far, Chicago lost 200,000 residents. St. Louis shrunk by 29,000. New Orleans, a special case, of course, lost nearly 30% of its population since 2000.
It's New amazing.
York,
it's amazing.
It is remarkable. Absolutely
30%.
Remarkable. New York will probably grow. It broke a record in 2000, hit 8 million, and now the guess is it will be somewhere over 8.3 million. We'll know for sure in just a couple of weeks what that count was as of April 1st, 2010. There was a lot more growth in the beginning of the decade than subsequently. Immigration slowed down a little, but there's no question that New York City, unlike lots of other cities in the country, has grown in population in the past 10 years.
New Orleans, of course, is a special case because of Hurricane Katrina, but I guess these statistics show that the black population went down, as we would expect population overall to go down in New Orleans after that, but the white population actually went up.
The white population did go up, the black population, both in numerical terms and, of course, as a proportion of the population. The biggest decreases were among blacks and among young blacks, children in particular. They just fled the state, many to Texas, many to other neighboring states, probably not to come back. I mean, a lot of those homes were destroyed, areas no longer habitable, and yet to some of the better areas, the areas that survived, more whites were moving in.
Why would whites be moving in to New Orleans net?
Well, I guess, you know, there are more opportunities. The city is coming back, and I guess they feel that things are going to get better over the next 10 years than they have been over the past 10.
Then there's Chicago, a city which people compare more frequently to New York City, which also had a decline in black residents and an increase in white residents. And at the same time, Atlanta's black population has grown. Atlanta now has more African Americans than Chicago. So how do you compare that to New York, or what else strikes you about that?
Well, Brian, one of the things we're seeing is all over the country, more dispersal of people. We're seeing more diversity, not just in the so-called gateway cities, New York, Los Angeles, Miami, cities in Texas, but all over the country, people, immigrants, non-whites dispersing. And in New York, at least on the basis of the preliminary numbers, these from the Census, this American Community Survey, the number of blacks has actually declined also slightly since 2000. That's one of the reasons is more opportunities for them to go elsewhere, the suburbs in particular, where there's been a surge of blacks, Latinos, Asians, immigrants, and also, as you say, to the south, or in some cases back to the south, particularly urban centers like Atlanta and places in North Carolina and the like.
We also know from some preliminary results and another part of the census called the American Community Survey, as we wait for some more official 10-year census results for New York coming out this month. But we already know that immigration slowed to New York City in the last 10 years. Is that as simple as a recession-driven drop, or do you think there's more to it than that?
I think there are two things. So we saw it slow, particularly in the second half of the decade. One part is the recession. People go to where the jobs are, and the jobs weren't here. The jobs weren't anywhere, and immigration slowed in the entire country, not just in New York City. The second thing was 9/11, which also made it harder for a lot of people to come into the city and come into the country. I think those two things combined to somewhat reduce the level of immigration from the 90s, which was absolutely enormous. It was about 100,000 a year coming in to New York City alone. Now it's probably more like somewhere around 70,000.
Nonetheless, we see the suburbs around New York City becoming much, much more diverse.
Absolutely true. They're becoming more diverse in every way, more foreign-born, either leapfrogging the city, going right to the suburbs, some of them staying in the city a little while and then moving to the suburbs. And part of that, the result of it results in more blacks, Latinos, and Asians in the suburbs as well. Enormous changes just in the past 10 years alone. And you think, you know, when we calculate this and see it on an annual basis, the 10-year results wouldn't be as dramatic. But I took a look at some of these changes, particularly in the city with Ford Fessenden here at the Times, and we found just enormous changes in race and ethnicity and the foreign-born population. Big, big shifts, particularly in Brooklyn, but in Queens as well and the other boroughs too.
New York Times urban affairs correspondent and census expert Sam Roberts, the first of a four-part series every Thursday in March, looking at census data, the 2010 census results now being rolled out. Let me follow up on what you just said because it's really so interesting. Let's just go quickly around the city because there was a shift in every borough from what we already know from the American Community Survey aspect of this. Let me ask you to give us your headline for each one, Manhattan.
You have more people living downtown, of course, as the result of the revitalization after 9/11. I also did a story in the Times recently that Little Italy has become Littler Italy. The census in the American Community Survey, at least, could not find one Italian-born resident in the heart of Little Italy. And even people of Italian heritage down to 5% of the population. What you have is a growing influx of Asians, and not just Chinese in Chinatown. They're Thai, Vietnamese, and others. And what you also have, of course, is a gentrification taking place in Harlem, particularly West Harlem, Hamilton Heights, that is driving some black people out.
Really Little Italy. Little Italy is now really Little Italy in terms of its Italianness.
Well, it is practically down to a couple of square blocks in terms of people, in terms of restaurants, in terms of a commercial or tourist attraction, which it still very much is. And in those couple of square blocks, the population is now about 5% Italian-American. You have Nolita moving down from the north, Soho sort of encroaching from the west, and Chinatown moving very aggressively up from the south.
All right. Headline for Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is now, I think, vying for Queens as the most diverse borough in the city. It is absolutely fantastic when you look at the movement that has taken place over 10 years. You have blacks moving from Flatbush into Flatlands and Canarsie. You have Russians moving west from Brighton Beach, moving into areas they hadn't been in at all before, like Seagate. You have Arab Americans moving from Atlantic Avenue down into areas like Sunset Park. Mexicans there, Asians moving from Sunset Park farther into Bay Ridge and Bensonhurst. And all of these groups, I mean, it's one of the rare places in the world, except perhaps Jerusalem, where you have Arab Americans living right next door to Orthodox Jews in Borough Park. And it's just a fantastic phenomenon. And as Joe Salvo of the City Planning Commission keeps saying, you know, it doesn't mean we all love each other, but we do tolerate each other more than perhaps any other place in the world.
Incredibly so in New York, incredibly so. All right, how about Queens?
Well, Queens still very, very diverse. The percentage of foreign-born in Queens is about 47%, almost half the population foreign-born. But we also have real dichotomies. You look at Breezy Point at the western tip of the Rockaways, you have 4,300 American-born whites, most of them Irish and Italian. The Census American Community Survey counted 10 blacks, 67 Hispanic people, 132 people born abroad. When you look at Queens Village, you've got a couple of square blocks that include almost 400 immigrants from Central and South America, 300 from South Asia, 300 from Southeast Asia, almost 200 from Eastern Europe, more than 100 from the Caribbean, more than 100 from East Asia, as well as about 500 born in the United States. Now, that is diversity, and you don't see that in many places anywhere in the world.
Staten Island.
Staten Island changing some. Obviously, it is less white than it has been traditionally. You see some of the biggest increases in population still there because there's more undeveloped land and more people moving from Brooklyn and other places. You also see a higher concentration of foreign-born, particularly on the South Shore, a higher number of blacks and African-born blacks, a very changing population, much more diverse than it has been in preceding censuses.
And the Bronx, which includes the poorest congressional district in America.
Indeed it does. It is still the poorest congressional district in America, in the South Bronx, but that is changing somewhat. You see immigrants moving in, pockets of Dominicans who have moved from Washington Heights. You see African-born immigrants coming and establishing pockets of vitality in neighborhoods that had not been before. And you see some signs, obviously we're starting from a very low threshold, but you see some signs of a comeback in the Bronx, and that has to be heartening to people who have always viewed the Bronx as sort of the ultimate symbol of the urban dilemma.
So that was great, Sam, by the way, going around headline by headline, borough by borough. And as we continue with this series, and I said four-part series, you know there are five Thursdays
there
in March?
There are five Thursdays. I didn't know whether we were cheating our listeners out of one or not.
No, we are not. So we've got you roped in for all five Thursdays to talk about census results as they get rolled out here. And we'll do some county by county in New Jersey and Connecticut and New York outside the five boroughs as well as we go here. But tell us what we're exactly waiting for. You were able to fill us in on some of the basics based on what we already know, but we're actually expecting March to be the rollout month for some more specific 2010 census data. What are you looking for?
Brian, that's absolutely right. What we saw in December were the five-year American Community Survey figures, the most detailed and bored down census numbers we've seen since 2000. What we will see in a couple of weeks are the actual 2010 census numbers, where theoretically everybody was counted. We know that isn't quite true, but a much, much bigger sample, a much more representative sample, fewer questions, unfortunately, because of political considerations and also because the American Community Survey replaced that. But we will find out more detail about the foreign-born, more detail about race and ethnicity, more detail about income and age in tract-level areas, which are down, again, to the couple of square blocks in New York City and in the entire metropolitan area. Those results coming out by April 1st from the Census Bureau.
And I guess we already know from the 2010 census results that New York and New Jersey are going to lose congressional seats and some other states, especially Texas, are going to gain?
New York will lose two seats. We're down to 27. We will be from a high of 45 in the 1940s. New Jersey losing one seat, and that's all a result of the overall shift in American population toward the South and the West, something that's actually been going on since 1790.
Which also has partisan ramifications, because in the Northeast, the members of Congress are so overwhelmingly Democratic, and where people are going, much more Republican.
Much more Republican. They are going, first of all, south and west, and they are also going more to the suburbs, which tend to be more Republican or more conservative. One of the interesting sidelights in New York, particularly for the state legislature, also Congress a little bit, is that the population shift has been more toward New York City and downstate at the cost of political influence upstate.
Interesting. So before you go, I'm just curious if you think we might see the foreclosure crisis in areas of Brooklyn and Queens, especially, represented in the census results.
I think we'll see some of that in terms of the housing statistics, but these are statistics as of 2010, April 1st, and you'd like to think that most of that crisis has peaked by then, that we would have seen it a little bit more in earlier years, and given gentrification, perhaps it's abated some, although obviously a lot of people still suffering as a result of overly generous or greedy mortgage lenders.
New York Times urban affairs correspondent and census expert Sam Roberts. Great start to this five-part Every Thursday in March series. Thank you so much. So informative. I'll
Thank
talk
you,
to you in
Brian.
A week.
Okay, great.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.